It's time for the truth. Will you join me in the study of the precious Word of God that we may come to know and come to grow in the Lord Jesus? Glad that you've joined us today. We're in the book of Exodus, Exodus chapter 36. We're going to begin reading with the 8th verse and read down through the 19th verse. While you're looking that up, I'd like to share with you this program is brought to you by the folks at Parkview Bible Church. We're located over in Hamilton, Illinois. We're at 18th and Church Street, and we're just one block north of the Dairy Queen, and I'm the pastor, Larry Mulch. If you would like to write to us, our mailing address is Post Office Box 43, Hamilton, Illinois, 62341. If you would like to visit our website, you'll find us at www.parkviewbiblechurch.org. Now, I hope that that was enough time for you to open your Bibles and prepare for the study today. Exodus 36, we're going to begin reading with the 8th verse. And every wise-hearted man among them that wrought the work of the tabernacle made 10 curtains of fine twined linen, blue and purple and scarlet. With cherubims of cunning work made he them. The length of one curtain was 28 cubits, and the length of the breadth of one curtain was 4 cubits. The curtains were all of one size, and all coupled of 5 curtains, one unto the other, and the other 5 curtains, one coupled with one unto another. And he made loops of blue on the edge of one curtain, from the self edge of the coupling. Likewise he made in the uttermost side of the other curtain, in the coupling of the second. 50 loops made he in one curtain, and 50 loops made he in the edge of the curtain, which was in the coupling of the second. The loops held one curtain to another, and he made 50 tacks of gold, and coupled the curtain one to another with the tacks, so that it became one tabernacle. He made curtains of goat's hair for the tent over the tabernacle. 11 curtains he made them. The length of one curtain was 30 cubits, and 4 cubits was the breadth of one curtain, and 11 curtains were of one size. And he coupled 5 curtains by themselves, 6 curtains by themselves, and he made 50 loops upon the uttermost edge of the curtain in the coupling, and 50 loops made he upon the edge of the curtain which coupleth the second. And he made 50 tacks of brass to couple the tent together, that it might be one. And he made a covering of the tent of ram's skin dyed red, and a covering of badger skins above that. Now, that's where we're going to end today, and we're going to begin with prayer. Father, thank you today that we can come and we can read your precious word. I ask that you will guide and lead us today as we have this precious study. We're just going to look at these 4 different curtains, 4 different ceiling coverings of the tabernacle. So please guide and lead us as we look at that. It is kind of a review, but it's been some time since we've been through this, so we're going to spend probably the whole study today talking about these 4 different ones. And so please that you will guide and lead us and direct our hearts and our lives and our minds and our eyes to hear from you today, dear Lord. Those that are lost, please that they come to salvation. Those that are saved, that they will grow today closer to you. So please now guide and lead us as we study your precious word. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. We have 4 curtains: the fine twined linen, the goat's hair dyed, the goat's hair, and then we have the ram skin dyed red, and then the badger skin or porpoise hide, as the original text indicates. So we have those 4. And in reading those 4, they are in perfect order, except they would be backwards, as you might think, because normally you would look from the outside and you would count inward. In this case, when you're in Jesus Christ and you know Jesus Christ as your Savior, you actually go the other way. You're standing inside, and so you're going from the fine linen first, and then next to the goat hair, and then next to the ram's skin dyed red, and then finally the outside coating is this badger skins or a porpoise hide. Now, we're going to begin with the colors, first of all, and take a look at those. Every wise-hearted man among them that wrought the work of the tabernacle made 10 curtains of fine twined linen. Let's look at the colors, blue and purple and scarlet, with cherubims of cunning work made he them. And so we have first the fine twined linen, then we have the blue, the purple, and the scarlet. And so, and then at the end of that is the cherubims. This is all on the ceiling, beautifully embroidered. Men are given and women are given special skills and talent to embroider this, and it is the most beautiful, beautiful thing that has ever been made by man. And so we find this fine twined linen, and we could add this fine twined Egyptian linen, because you see, all the parts and everything that they received, they actually got out of Egypt, because they were told, you know, to go before the Egyptians and ask them for their gold and silver and brass, and they received all these things, because you see, they were just slaves, and they had no possessions like this. And so this was something that was a wonderful opportunity for them to receive. Now, again, when we don't listen to God and go do what we're told to do, you may be empty-handed. You see, how strange was that request? Go to your master and ask them for the gold and the silver and the linen and all these things. And the first thing you would think, I would think, is that's the craziest thing I've ever heard. I don't want to do that. I'm going to risk my life if I would do that. So I have to, you know, I'm not going to do that. Well, if you didn't experience a step of faith, because what you didn't know was God had changed the heart of the Egyptians. And all you had to do was ask, and you would have received that. Then, down the road, down the time here that we're finally here building this tabernacle, then here you would have these wonderful goods to bring and hand before for the work, as Moses would call for them. And what an honor that would be to bring these materials and these products, and you would realize that, hey, oh, look at God's plan. God has such a beautiful, perfect plan. You know, I sure didn't see through this when I was in Egypt. When he told us to go to these Egyptians, I wondered whether that was a smart thing to do. But now I see. Well, what happens when you begin to see? Your eyes begin to open. You begin to be stronger. Your faith grows. It is all just a wonderful work that God does in our heart. But it had to begin back there when God told them to do something, and they did it. Now, I'm hoping that you listen to the word of the Lord. I hope that you know Jesus Christ as your Savior. I'm hoping that you just don't believe about God, but you know Him personally, because He is a person, and the relationship being a Christian is knowing the person of Jesus Christ, knowing Him. Not just about Him, not just someone that's recorded in this book we call the Bible, but that it is someone that you know personally. And so I try to impress that upon you so that you don't miss salvation. Some men through the years have called it by 18 inches and from the head to the heart, because you think, okay, I know this, but in your heart you know you don't. So let the Spirit of God work on your heart today and come by faith to Him. So, we have these goods. Now, to begin with, some of these colors here, I have them listed in the purple and the scarlet and the blue and then the white linen. Each one of them, these colors, also represent our Lord Jesus Christ. The purple represents Christ as the King of Israel. Scarlet, that represents Christ as He suffers, as He is a suffering servant. The blue, of course, that is of heaven. And God the Father sent His Son, and He is our eternal Creator, and we need to know that. And then, of course, we have the white linen. That's back in Luke. Luke gives us the picture of this sinless, perfect man of Christ. It speaks of the humanity of Christ. Now, purple, where do we learn that Christ is the King? That's in Matthew, the Gospel of Matthew. Where do we see this suffering servant? The Gospel of Mark. Where do we see this, the Son of God, the eternal Creator, the blue? We find Him, that in John. And then Luke is where we find the white linen, the sinless perfection that it stands for. So, when we look at this linen here, this fine twined linen that had come from the land of Egypt, we find it embroidered with these beautiful colors. We find that it's embroidered not only with these beautiful colors, but also with these angels, cherubims, are embroidered in this so that you can see that so beautifully and so perfectly. Well, in seeing that then, you need to be reminded then what we find, you know, we have personalized angels. You hear somebody say, "Oh, I've got my guardian angel." Well, you don't. These angels are at God's beckoning call. And if He sends an angel to help us or to protect us or to help us in some work or service we're doing, oh, praise God. Don't praise the angel. You don't name an angel as your protector. In other words, you're not appointed an angel. There's nothing in the Word of God that tells us that. That's something that has kind of been man-made. These cherubims, as they are embroidered in the ceiling of this tabernacle, as we come inside and look in this tabernacle, what we see is this cherubim. Well, what it should remind us of what the angels are doing. And one thing the angels are doing, according to Ezekiel, they are singing, "Holy, holy, holy, Lord God Almighty." That's what they're singing. And that's what we should be singing. That's what should be coming from our lips. Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty. And so when you come inside this tabernacle, now once again, let's move backwards just a little bit. We have first the courtyard of the tabernacle. In that courtyard, there's two pieces of furniture. One is the brazen altar. The next is the brazen laver. The altar stands for the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's where the sacrifice is offered. That's Golgotha. That's Calvary. That's where Jesus died for you and for me. And once we have come by faith and trusted in the Lord Jesus, once we have trusted in Jesus, and I can't tell you enough times, there are so many folks that are so religious that are holding on to baptism and things of that sort that, my friend, are missing it because they do not hold on to, do not possess a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. They have trusted in a baptism. They've trusted in something else. They have not trusted in Jesus, the person Jesus Christ, that died and rose again and is at the right hand of the Father making intercession for us. That's who we need to trust in. And so I hope today that you trust in Him. Well, you've got to come. You cannot come to this wonderful place, the holy place, or on to the Holy of Holies. You cannot go there unless you come through by way of this altar, the brazen altar. In other words, the cross. You must come to the cross. To the cross, a lot of people, they don't preach the cross. They don't preach repentance. They don't preach turning to God anymore. They preach a social gospel, and that's not to be. And so, my friend, we need to speak of the cross, and we need to stay at the cross, and we need to see and recognize the power and the strength and the saving power that we find at the cross of Calvary. And so please trust in Jesus Christ. Next is a laver, this brass brazen laver that's there. Well, once we get saved, then the cleaning, the washing begins, the scrubbing begins. We get a new heart. In God's eyes, he looks down and he sees nothing but the pure righteousness of his Son, Jesus Christ. But we still have that old body. Well, we need to begin to do the cleaning. We need to clean house. And so in the process of doing that, that's found the laver. The word is the washing of the word. That's not baptism. That's something that the word does when we study it. It begins to clean our hearts, clean our lives. It makes us new. It makes us Christ-like. And so now that we have had the experience of coming to the cross, and we know Jesus as our Savior personally, then the cleaning begins. It can't begin until then. You can scrub, you can do anything you want to do if you try to avoid the cross, and it won't work. You can act like you're good. You can act like you're perfect, but not until you know Jesus as your Savior. Then the cleaning process begins. Then we go on in, because once we've trusted in Jesus Christ, we take on the position of a priest, and now we can come into the holy place. In this holy place now is where we have the lampstand, the table of showbread, and the incense altar. Those three pieces of furniture are in this room. Then we have one more room, and this room here is 30 foot by 15, and the ceiling's 15 feet high. Now, next to that, beyond that, is there's a veil. And then beyond that veil, we find the Ark of the Covenant and the mercy seat. And the cherubims as they're facing each other. That's a place where God come to meet with man. We're right now in this holy place. Holy of Holies is the same as far as the embroidered work and these cherubims and all this. So now that we are here, we are feeding upon the word at the table of showbread. The light that we have is this glorious light of the lampstand. We have that sweet incense, that sweet odor that's coming from the incense altar. And so we come to commune with the Lord, to visit with him, to fellowship with him, to have him teach us and show us his ways. And as we look up, here is this beautiful embroidered linen, white linen. And so here's these cherubims, and one more time before we move on, the song that they sing is Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty. You'll find that in Ezekiel. What a wonderful, wonderful picture. Now, this fine twined linen, it speaks of the righteousness of Christ. It's not only something very beautiful, but also represents the righteousness of Christ, his character and his work. It tells us, it shows us the righteousness that he provides for us so that we may be clothed with the righteousness of God, clothed with his presence. What a wonderful, wonderful opportunity to know Jesus Christ, to realize that Christ is all in all. He is adequate to meet every need that we have. He is able to save us. He's able to deliver us. He's able to keep us. What a wonderful work that we have. And you see, that is inside. Now, I'm going to jump outside real quick. Inside, we have the sweet incense, the sweet fragrance of this incense. We have the light of the lampstand, the table of showbread to feed upon, and this beautiful, beautiful fine twined linen all embroidered so beautifully. We've talked about the colors. Now let's jump outside. Now we're standing outside. What is the difference on being outside? Outside we have the offering, the sacrifice being offered, burned on the altar. If you've ever been around the burning of an animal, there is nothing of It's not a sweet smell. It's a terrible odor. Well, death is terrible. Death is black, and death is there, and death must come. Now, when we look at that tabernacle building, it's 30 by 15 is the holy place. Holy of Holies is 15 by 15, so the total is 15 by 45, and it's 15 foot high. You're standing back, and you're on the outside. This courtyard has a white linen fence. It's 7.5 feet high all the way around. You see, you've got to come by the door, and there's only one way, and that is by the cross. You can't come any other way. You can try all you want to, but you cannot come another way. So, all right, now we're looking across, and you're seeing this tabernacle, and you're smelling the stench, the smell of death and burnt flesh, and you're thinking, what is so good about this? What is so exciting about this? That drab grayish color is the outside covering. Remember, it's a porpoise hide. And the smell, the odor is terrible. Well, you step inside the tabernacle, everything changes. We really haven't mentioned the gold walls, 15 foot high, and then the white linen. All is beautifully lit by the lampstand. Only the light of Jesus is allowing you to see all this. The world sees the outside. The believer, the born-again believer, the one that comes by way of the cross, sees the inside. So if you've been going to church all these years and you really kind of wonder what it's about, but you know that your parents did and you did, and it's a thing to do, and it does set up certain standards, moral standards, and so really it's a good thing. Well, it's more than a good thing. It's a personal relationship with a God that has forgiven you of your sins, but you must come by faith to Him to see how beautiful and how wonderful it is. That's the reason, my friend, when you truly get saved, you don't have to wonder about service, because you're excited to serve. You're excited to look to Him, to praise Him, to honor Him, to glorify Him. What a wonderful, wonderful day to be a believer in Jesus Christ. Be on the inside. You've got to come. You've got to be in Christ Jesus. You've got to be inside this tabernacle to see this beauty, this gorgeous, beautiful room. You've got to be there in order to know the will of God. It's got to be by the light of the lampstand, the light of the Lord Jesus. We have the oil representing the Holy Spirit, and then we have the table of showbread feeding upon His Word. Oh, what a wonderful, wonderful look. And so please don't miss that. Now, we come and we've looked at this white linen, and we have the loops and the rings, and we have so many things. We have latches or tacks. And so all these things are for the purpose to bind this together. Remember, they just don't make one curtain. They make multiple curtains, and then they attach it together. And so God gave these people such a wonderful wisdom and talent to build this in sections, and then you've put it together, because you see, it would come back apart again and be moved to another location. So it cannot be one. It is not one piece of cloth that is 45 foot long and 15 foot wide. It is much larger than that, because it has to come across just a little bit, but also it has to be able to handle it. And so it is in sections. And that's the reason for the rest of this, the coupling of the second, it says. The loops of on the blue, the edge of one curtain from the self edge of the coupling. Likewise, he made in the uttermost side of another curtain in the coupling of the second. And it just keeps coming until it is full and it is one piece. But it is multiple pieces as they make it. Each part of this is the same way, because you could not handle that much weight, that much material, and take care of it. So it's in sections for them to take care of. Next we have the goat's hair, the curtain of goat hair. Now, this curtain is next in line as we're in the inside of the tabernacle, looking upward, looking heavenward. We see this beautiful white linen. And so then you see here's this goat hair. This the goat, you know, in the scripture, the goat does mean some things, you know. When you look at believers, why you find that you have the sheep, and they're the flock, and that's God's chosen, those that have come by faith to the Lord Jesus, were His sheep, you have the shepherds, you have all those things. Well, also you have goats. Well, when your goats are among you, when it speaks of it in that manner, then it's speaking of the lost people. But the goats in the scripture also have a wonderful place. And that wonderful place is a place of substitution. And we have the sin bearer is what this goat's hair, this curtain stands for. The sin bearer, the substitute. You know, the goat in the Bible pictures Christ Jesus, our sin bearer. The goat is a clean animal, and on the Day of Atonement is the great day, and we're just going to get started with this, and we're just about out of time, and we'll continue this next time. I'm just going to take my time here. If you would like to go to Leviticus 16, verses 19 through 22, we can read that very quickly. Exodus, Leviticus, it's not very far away. Leviticus chapter 16, this is something that comes. It's called the Day of Atonement. And we have such a beautiful picture of what the Lord Jesus Christ, you've heard me, if you've been with me very long with this study, this isn't new to you. It shouldn't be new to you. It should be a beautiful picture that you're very familiar with. But let's look at Leviticus 16, and we're going to begin with verse 19. And he shall sprinkle of the blood upon it with his fingers seven times, and cleanse it and hallow it from the uncleanness of the children of Israel. And when he hath made an end of reconciling the holy place, and the tabernacle of the congregation, and the altar, he shall bring the live goat. And Aaron shall lay both his hands upon the head of the live goat, and confess over him all the iniquity of the iniquities of the children of Israel, and all their transgressions and all their sins, putting them up on the head of the goat, and shall send him away by the hand of a fit man into the wilderness. And the goat shall bear upon him all their iniquities unto the land not inhabited, and he shall let go the goat in the wilderness. Now let's back up just a little bit, because we need to read back just a little bit, and we're going to start with the 16th verse. We looked at what takes place with the second goat. Let's look at the first goat. There are two goats. Verse 16, and he shall make an atonement for the holy place because of the uncleanness of the children of Israel, and because of their transgressions in all their sins, and so shall he do for the tabernacle of the congregation that remaineth among them in the midst of their uncleanness. And there shall be no man in the tabernacle of the congregation when he goeth in to make an atonement in the holy place, until he come out and have made an atonement for himself and for his household and for all the congregation of Israel. And he shall go out unto the altar that is before the Lord and make an atonement for it, and shall take of the blood of the bullock and the blood of the goat, and shall put it upon the horns of the altar round about. And he shall sprinkle of the blood upon it with his finger seven times, and cleanse it and hallow it from the uncleanness of the children of Israel. Now that's where we started to read just a few minutes ago. Now in summary, very quickly, and we'll begin here, what takes place, and we may even back up and read from about the 11th or 12th verse next time to start there. There's two goats. One is put to death, one is remains alive. It pictures so beautifully what Jesus Christ has done for us. He died on the cross of Calvary and carried our sin away. My dear friend, time moves so fast, so quickly. I just have to ask you, as I always do, what are you going to do about Jesus?